So good to have Deidre Teagarden. She came in today looking fabulous in purple and gold. Well, a purple dress is beautiful and a beautiful gold necklace, and it sets it up perfectly. And we were just talking about the front page story in the Maui News.
I know.
I walked in this morning. You know, I was looking at the headlines. I was like, wow, Deidre. And the interesting part was we talked about this amazing movie that's coming up, and it was just about... Well, it was really almost sold out about a week or two ago, right?
It really was. So Japanese Cultural Center of Hawaii had put out a documentary a few years ago all about Honouliuli, the internment camp in Honolulu. They did a follow-up on the internment camps or the detention sites here on Maui, and they're premiering this 25-minute documentary at our center on Saturday. And I came on the show, did a couple press releases, and immediately it filled up. So we thought, okay, well, we'll add a second one.
Mm-hmm.
That filled up. A big shout out to the great team down at the Maui News for always putting in our press releases. And then this morning we saw the front page and we thought, oh no, we don't have any more space.
Now, for the people that didn't happen to pick up the Maui News, tell them what you're talking about.
So the front page of the Maui News today is all about this internment documentary. Ryan Kawamoto, who is the producer, the director of it, and did all the research. We're doing the Hawaii premiere this Saturday at our center. So the phone, of course, started ringing off the hook saying, we want to come for that documentary. So
It was a well-written article.
It was a beautiful. Melissa Tangi,
yeah,
always does wonderful work. Everybody down there,
yeah.
Colleen, Brian, they all do fantastic work. So we've added a third showing, which actually is at 12 noon. And
you're almost sold out.
We're almost, quote unquote, sold out. It's a free event, but we do take donations. So we'll have over 200 people seeing this movie on Saturday.
A very moving movie.
A very moving movie. All about the internment story and focusing on the Maui families who were interned. And after people see the documentary, Carol and Ryan will be there to do a little question and answer, and then people can come down to the education center and look at the internment exhibit that we have going on currently.
I was driving back on the Lower Beach Road there, just heading towards Jack in the Box there.
Yes, Jack in the Box.
And I saw your building there, and I went, boy, it jumped right out. You had internment. I think it's on a banner, right?
It is.
And you know what? It really does jump out. I mean, and I went, wow, that's powerful when you see internment, and you have it in very big letters. And the story, and I guess a lot of you did read, because the phones were going off the hook today down there about it, this movie. But the story is so touching, and you know, this thing that really talks to me, it wasn't that long ago.
It really wasn't.
And it could happen again is the scary part.
It could. I think that is why this exhibit has been so, I hesitate to use the word popular, but for lack of a better word, we've been getting so many visitors, local tourists, residents who've never come into the center before. But the whole topic of internment and how it is so timely. It's, we hear that word in the news, and it's a scary thing to think that anyone would think that internment is somehow a good way to go, a good way to deal with issues. So it's very timely. It's very topic.
Very, very, very topical.
Topical,
and on top of that, there was that story that he was, very respected, and you saw the picture of him as a banker. Here was someone who was in the community and respected and known. And here he was shipped off he wasn't even able to be staying on Maui.
Right.
And had to go off island. Where was it that they shipped him to?
I think he was sent to Santa Fe or Tule Lake.
Yeah.
There were a lot of different places, areas where people were sent. And the Hawaii internment story is very different than the California story. So
yes.
California had mass internment.
Yeah.
And Hawaii and Maui... specifically, they took the priests, the people who worked at the Japanese newspaper, who taught Japanese at the Japanese school. They took all of that group, and they were the men who were interned.
Wow, It is a powerful story, and it's so touching. And I think for a long time it was kind of a hidden story.
Very much a hidden story, and even a lot of the families, you know, that come into the center say, well, you know, I knew my grandfather was interned, but he never talked about it. It was either just a horrible experience or a shameful experience. You know, so many different words that they use to describe. But it was a very, very quiet story. And only now it's coming out.
The shame for no reason, you know, except for that they were for no reason put in because of their race. And that's just that story I was reading about this morning. He was put in there, and he was at the head of a bank or was a lawyer. And he had nothing, he said, but his toothbrush. That's all he had at that point. So I have to say, folks, I know you might be reading this or hearing about it now for the first time, but unless you call right away today.
Literally today.
There will be no more room, because you now have 3 showings and you can't do another, and you're flying the people over from Oahu. I said, well, can't you add another day? And it's like, no, because we'd have to put people up, and it's very expensive to do that, etc.
Well, Japanese Cultural Center of Hawaii, Carol Hayashino, who is the director over there, was very gracious. She was actually the one who suggested doing a third showing. The DVDs aren't for sale yet. She said what they're going to be doing is releasing it to the public at some point.
Oh, good.
You know, over the course of the year.
Yeah.
So we'll keep everybody posted.
But there's obviously a demand there.
There really is. And again, this topic has really touched a chord with our community. And we have a lot of people coming through the center, and we're very thankful that we're there and we're able to tell the stories, and that the families allow us to share these stories, because, you know, not everybody wants to share their stories.
How long have you now been in charge of the Nisei Veterans Memorial Center?
I think it's been about a year and a bit.
A lot's happened in that year and a bit.
Well, we have a wonderful team down at the center.
Yeah.
We have the most amazing board of directors that when you come to them with an idea, they're all for it, and they say, you know, go for it.
Mm-hmm. And I love that.
We have just amazing stories to tell. Yeah. We have a great group of supporters, so I think the time is it's just good, really good timing for us, and the community is interested.
Well, and you're very smart on some of these things, and you did start a program. There's actually been some standout things you've done. Number one, you were able to do the stories by the heroes and their values, and you were able to pick up on some of these people who were just names no one knew and explain how they really are, and they're still, I'm saying are because they still are heroes.
Yes.
And what made them special. A lot of people did not realize about the 442, and
right.
They didn't know their stories. They certainly probably never knew they went to Italy.
Right.
You know, and some of these other places, and the Go for Broke stories. Of course, there's a little clue because you're on Go for Broke Lane.
Yes. And you know, we have Maui had Medal of Honor recipients. We have such a rich history, that's what the center is dedicated to, is sharing the stories, the sacrifices, and also moving forward. I don't think there hasn't been one veteran, whether it's been a Nisei or Korean War or Vietnam War veteran, who hasn't said that war is awful.
Yeah.
It should be a last resort. It should be no resort. I mean, it we have to work toward diplomacy and peace, because the horrors of war are just that.
Yeah. And we can't imagine unless you've gone through what they've gone through.
No, and they don't even like to talk about it. You know, we had that first speaker series where we had Mr. Okamura and Mr. Motooka, both in the Military Intelligence Service, just kind of sharing their stories from World War II. And they said afterward, you know, they're very, very tough stories mm-hmm. to tell. And instead of focusing on that, you know, you need to focus on moving forward. And when the men of the 100th Battalion came back to Maui or into Hawaii, their motto was continuing service. What can we do to make the community better moving forward?
And that was kind of the seeds that were planted by them that made the Nisei Veterans Memorial Center possible.
Yes, yes. And then we had Maui Sons and Daughters of the Nisei Veterans, Leonard Oka, whose father was in the 442, really took it and created what we are, you know, what we are today. So,
and now there's another big event coming, and this one is very, very important, folks. And we want to talk about an event with Governor George Ariyoshi.
Yes.
And some of you may not have been around long enough to remember Governor George Ariyoshi, but that's all the more reason that you will want to be coming this on Saturday, February 17th at 1:30. This isn't at the Nisei Veterans Memorial. This one's at the Kahili Golf Course, Nahili Ballroom. That's downstairs?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we will have heavy poo-poo. But we were sitting around talking about leadership. And regardless, you know, we talk about Nisei values, but really those values are the values of aloha. They are the values of every other culture has these exact same values. We just happen to, you know, talk about the Nisei values and how it formed our veterans, and you know, when they came home, what they did with these values that they had. But it's all about leadership and values and how relevant these values are today. They're as relevant today as they were back in, you know, 1940 and 1945. So we decided, well, let's reach out to our governors. So Governor Ariyoshi, who also served in the military intelligence service at the end of World War II in occupied Japan, he was an interpreter, was our governor from 1974 to 1986. We thought we would kick it off with him.
I mean, he's 92. He's 92 years old. I mean, this is really something that's going to be very impactful. And at 92 years old, I mean, to be able to have him come and tell his story on multiple levels. Number one, I mean, of course, what it was like being the very first governor of Asian descent in the United States.
Yes.
And to be able to get to that point, what he saw, because that was a very important time in the history of Hawaii.
It was.
Think of the growth and what happened in those years. And then what it was like for him working in the military right after. He was there right after the war in Japan, right?
Right, occupied Japan. Yeah. So he was part of the effort to rebuild Japan, and he was an interpreter. And, yeah, so we have him coming just to talk about his life and leadership in general. We wanted to do it someplace where we could host more people. So we're doing it at the Kahili Golf Course at the Nahele Ballroom. It is $35,
yes.
But that will
help pay for the expenses.
It will, and it'll get you some lunch or some heavy poo-poo.
Heavy poo-poos.
Heavy poo-poos.
So this is going to be on a Saturday.
Yes.
Starts at 1:30.
Correct.
So it's a perfect time to do this, actually. And you'll get to meet a legendary figure.
Yes.
And hear his stories. I had my brother was married to a wonderful lady who's still alive. He passed on. But his mother-in-law was also working in occupied Japan.
Oh.
And she was in charge of trying to help them set up trade that would benefit both sides.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, because the economy, of course, was devastated. And it was a very tricky situation. Because here you are, and you know the Japanese people, their pride was crushed. Not only that, there was all the deaths, the devastation we can't even imagine.
No.
That they had gone through, the radiation, the poisoning. Their country was in shambles. And there was still, obviously, a U.S. presence in there. But I think the U.S. was aware that there had to be enough people of Asian descent there to figure out a way to bridge the huge differences that existed and the prejudices that some of the Americans, I mean, had. We obviously see it with the internment, etc. And some of it even lasted after the internment. And it's embarrassing to think of what some of the Asian people had to go through after World War II and the judgment placed on them, you know, for not even knowing their background or if their relatives had served in the war, etc., you know. So this, I think, and in the course of 50 years, and it's a little over, probably is it 60 years since the end of the war? World War II was over. about 60 years
when
ago.
When we're celebrating the, when we're recognizing the 75th anniversary of the, you know, the 442 this year.
So it's a long time, but it's taken that long to finally come around, right?
It has.
You see it almost every day when you're down there.
I do. You know, that's my world now. And today, right before I came up here, we had another veteran stop by, and he was with the Military Intelligence Service. He's going to be at the Ariyoshi event, but he was sharing some stories about his time in Japan. He had lived in Japan in the 1930s when he was a little boy.
Wow.
Yes. And then,
can you imagine what that was like?
And then went back during the war. And
wow.
Very interesting. So, yes, you just get caught. It's the stories. You know, you can talk about, you know, World War II and what happened. But when you boil it down to the stories,
they're just
the people. The stories are just so overwhelming. And so that's what we have at the various exhibits, are the artifacts, memorabilia, and the stories of individual Maui families, so that people have more of that one-on-one connection. It's not just, you know, so up here in the air. It's, you know, it's really boiled down to these specific stories.
If you had Governor Ariyoshi here in this room doing an interview with us, what question would you ask him?
Oh my goodness! You know what? That is a wonderful question, because we have veterans that come through the center, and I always think, you know, what is the question? What is the question to ask them? And you never know what the right question is. But I'm always so interested when somebody comes in and we can ask, you know, everything that you went through. All the discrimination that you and your family went through here in the United States, or here in Hawaii, or here in, you know, wherever it was, how are you able to go fight for a nation that was discriminating against your entire family, taking your land and your house,
money, everything.
How were you able to do that and still have this love in your heart for the country, and then, you know, come back and put everything aside and just, you know, keep moving on? What was it that enabled, what is it inside of you that enabled you to forget about it, or just put it to the side and continue on doing so much for the community and not being bitter?
I wonder if there's one answer. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of different answers in the way it's handled. But what I think with the Governor Ariyoshi, when you think of how now there is such an amazing wealth of Asian politicians, and that he was there able to take that, the roots of what he planted, if we could take a family tree of politicians and see how that changed everything with the Asian communities, and we look now at all of the powerful Asian businessmen and Asian doctors and lawyers and politicians that now have, and of course, I'm a minority, right? In Hawaii, there are more Asian Americans than there are Haoles, right? And how that built, because there was a whole revolution in the way of thinking, and there was some kind of change that happened that people were finally able to see. I know we've seen it somewhat in the stories. You had some stories of people who were there and showed it in the early days, because there was the brides that came over.
Oh, right, the picture brides.
The picture brides. And then when we saw from those roots how they came from nothing, coming over with having nothing,
right,
to starting to be very, very careful in their savings, be very, very cautious, be very, very wise, and how some of those relatives, you know, then later, now, have built up from the basics of just really being careful and watching. Well, a lot of people who had always what they wanted weren't so wise and careful, and really kind of didn't watch out and have really lost everything, where the others, kind of because of the hardships, were able to learn from those lessons.
Right, and it's all about that next generation or the future. And when we do talk to veterans or their families, the message was, you know, Dad always told us it's about, you know, what we're going to do. Now, they made the sacrifice. Now, what are we going to do with this opportunity? And the men who went and fought, they fought because they wanted to make their families proud and to prove their loyalty. And so they were doing it for the family. Yeah. They were doing it so that their current family and future families who had not yet been born had opportunities.
I think I see a vision there more. I'd been, you know, to Japan a long time ago and other countries in China. Also, I see that overview of looking at time in a different way than we do as typical Americans, where we kind of live for the now, you know, instead of looking at the whole bigger picture, you know. And when you look at the bigger picture, I think it's really obvious from some of these stories how there was a bigger picture that was carried forward, and a lot of sacrifice.
A lot of sacrifice
to get many of the relatives to where they're at right now, you know, on where they could be pillars in the society and in the community and to really, truly make a difference. And I'm really curious how Governor Ariyoshi was able to establish that.
Exactly.
At a time when it just was almost unheard of, right?
It was. He has quite an interesting story, indeed.
Have you met him yet?
I have. I have met the governor on a number of occasions, and he's very, you know that you are in the presence of a great individual, great human being, you know, when he is around. And at the same time, he's very compassionate, very caring, very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. I think that no matter what he says, it's going to be incredibly, incredibly interesting. You know, his is a story of immigration. You know, his parents were immigrants from Japan. And I think if you look at a lot of the immigrant stories, regardless of the ethnicity, you look at that first group that came over to America to make a better life. You have the family and the future. Mm-hmm. That was the foundation. You know, what can we do for the future?
Well, my father was from Prague, Czechoslovakia. He came over in the early 1900s. And not too much longer after he'd been here, he taught himself. He was a structural engineer. And he taught himself English and graduated way ahead of his class. I mean, he graduated from college at the age of 17, came to America. And then, not too much later, there was the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, for the baby boomer, I'm older than you. Surprise, surprise. But in the baby boomer generation, our parents, a lot of them went through that Great Depression. My father made sure our house was paid in full. We never had a mortgage.
Right.
We lived so cautiously. He lived. I mean, we acted as if we were, like there was no money.
Right.
That when he died, he never even told his mother, my mother. He never told my mother that there was any money because he wanted to make sure there was always going to be something to provide.
Right.
We had no idea there was any money. He put aside $2 million and we were not even aware of a dime of it. But that was from the Great Depression and being very careful.
You know, you look at people who are in their late 70s and 80s, and we have many of them as volunteers at the center, and you would never know that they, you know, they just look like average individuals, but they don't throw anything out. If something breaks, you fix it.
Yeah.
You have, you know, one pair of shoes, and you make sure that you clean that pair of shoes on Saturday.
It's true, yeah.
But it's that whole mentality, and they're so active. They don't complain if they have their knee hurts. They don't complain. They just keep going there and working. We have a gentleman, he's 77, and he cuts our grass once a week. And he doesn't complain, he just does it, and he's always staying busy. So I think it's that, you know, that the depression mentality, or, you know, coming out of the depression, or being young when you were
after the war mentality. And it's really sad, but sometimes these hardships actually do. And I think all of these stories prove that the hardships are terrible, but they make you such a stronger person. And I hope people, I know that on our station we run, because you were smart to run the special program on the values. And
thank
I
you
have
for
learned,
your support.
Well, I have learned so much about the Nisei values, and it goes back again to that. These are the values that they learned that made them strong, that keeps them thriving and alive. And they didn't want those values to die either.
Right.
And you picked up on that. These were the values of the heroes.
Right.
And they really were heroes.
Right.
And maybe you can mention a few of the values off the top of your head.
And respect, loyalty, hard work, perseverance, patience. And again, you know, we say they are the Nisei values, but really these are values at the core of every culture, and they are the core of Hawaiian values and aloha. It's not just the Nisei, and I want people to know that you don't have to be a World War II expert. You mm-hmm. do not have to be American of Japanese ancestry to enjoy the center, because we try to share these stories of humanity and these values of humanity. This list of values just happened to be something that the men carried with them.
Seriously.
Literally, you know, these were their values, and this is what they, because they all have Japanese words that go along, mm-hmm. the correlating Japanese word that goes along with them. So we do the values campaign with you, with Ko'oi. So thank you so much.
I mean, well, we have to say they're beautifully done, and that's thank to you. And also the fact that we are so lucky in Hawaii to have this blending, this melting pot of all these cultures where
right.
we don't have prejudice, and we can learn from each other and we can respect each other. But still, there are different sectors, you know, without fail, there are certain sectors that kind of lean towards each other. But when you have these events, and if people go down to the Nisei Veterans Memorial Center, and you're saying more and more people are coming to the Nisei Veterans Memorial Court, maybe not of Asian descent, but learning and
we
interest
really
in it.
We really do. It's, we have a cross-section of ethnicities that are coming out to our events, names that normally have not come through the doors. So we are excited about that, and we really want to encourage people to come down and just share your stories. You know, everyone has a story,
yeah.
as you know,
yeah.
and that's what makes life interesting, are the stories. And they don't have to be Japanese American stories to be appreciated at the Nisei Veterans Center.
Well, there's an amazing history in Hawaii, and you know, a lot of people come over and they're kind of new to the islands, and then there's some who've been here for years. But I would doubt that hardly anyone I know has had a chance to meet Governor George Ariyoshi before. And he is a definite part, 12-year governor.
Yes, before term limits.
Yeah. I mean, in a key turning point, a man who has really broken down barriers by being the first Asian American governor in the United States. And to be able to meet him and hear his story is really an opportunity. I can't think of any other word except an amazing opportunity.
I agree, and I'm not being biased
yeah.
just because it's our event. I just think having him come over is just an awesome opportunity to just listen to what he has to say.
And I'm so glad at 92 he's still up and around and able to do these kind of things.
I know.
I mean, that's really a wonderful gift. So in this particular case, you're always so generous, you do donations for most events. But in this particular case, it's not at your place. It's going to be, again, if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Deidre Teagarden, who's the director of the Nisei Veterans Memorial Center. It's not going to be there. It's going to be, because you need more room, it's going to be at the Kahele Golf Course, Nahele Ballroom, downstairs below where the restaurant is. And it's going to be not this Saturday, the Saturday after next, February 17th, at 1:30, and it's only $35 per person, and you're having heavy poo-poos.
We are.
Is that going to be the first part before or afterwards, or how are you going
to
handle it?
It'll be the first part. So 1:30 to 2 will be mingling and eating, and then 2 o'clock. Actually, we have a young lady from Kamehameha Schools who is going to be presenting her senior project about one of the MIS veterans, George Sano. So we have a great relationship with Ramona Ho and at the librarian at Kamehameha Schools. So we're so thrilled that Ms. Lau, Kayleen Lau, will be giving her little 5-minute history project about George Sano, who will also be in the audience, who's also a contemporary of Governor Ariyoshi. So that should be fun, too, to hear what that next generation is doing as it relates to history and our veterans. So
how do you see that being enacted? I'm very curious because that's very interesting. I like seeing that because that's a good part of what you're saying you want.
Well, we always talk about, oh, the next generation, mm-hmm. oh, the next generation. So we're making a lot of efforts to really include that next generation. But we've had a wonderful relationship with Ramona and Kamehameha Schools for a number of years.
Have they ever come down? Have been there?
They have, you know, but we haven't really... They've done more smaller events, so we mm-hmm. thought, you know, this is a great opportunity for the young lady to also meet, you know, Governor and to share her project. It'll be a great opportunity for us.
Well, we're going to have a call come in here, but I thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
And we'll be seeing you soon, Deidre. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Cindy. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you. And I believe I have on the phone. Who do I have on the phone right now?
My name is Christy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Christy. How are you?
I'm good. Can you tell me where the Kahealy Golf Course is? I have no idea.
Oh, wait. This is a call for you to take. Okay. This is wonderful. It's in relation to Deidre. The golf course there is, if you're going down past the tropical plantation, heading out towards... you know, and then you go up there, and there's, you know, where the Marilyn Monroe house is up on the top and everything?
Yeah, I didn't know that was the name of
Yeah, that's the golf course, but you don't want to go to the Marilyn Monroe house. You want to turn left. There'll be clear signs, and there's a lot of parking there, and you just turn left there, and the first big thing you see is, like, the restaurant and everything, but it's downstairs as if you were going to go to the golf course. There's a big ballroom down there.
Yes, I'm familiar with that. I just couldn't place the Kahealy Golf Course, but... That was a great program, and I've gone to many exhibits there. I'm a local Howley, and I am fascinated with history, and I have enjoyed every exhibit that I've gone to. It's wonderful, and the people that staff it, I know they're volunteers, and they're so welcoming, and I think Deidre is doing such a wonderful job, so thank
Aww.
You.
Oh,
well, thank you. We're so thrilled when you come in the office. We love having all of our guests, and hope you can come to the Governor Ariyoshi event. Give me a call at the office, and we'll get you a ticket.
All right.
We should give people the number there. What's the
that
number?
Would help, wouldn't
yes, it?
Yes, it
would.
It's 244-6862.
244-6862?
Yes.
244-6862. Thank you for calling, Chris. We appreciate you listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's funny, I thought it was the next guest when they were going to call in early, but I'm glad I got the call because, again, we didn't give that out.
No.
And that's important, 244-6862.
Yes.
Or they could go to the website. Can they get tickets through
they
the website?
They can. Actually, you can. We are 21st century, and you can even get your tickets via Eventbrite. There is a little box on the Ariyoshi press release on our front page, on our home page, so you can get tickets that way, or you can call us at the office and pay with a check at the door. However you want to give us your money, we will take it.
And your website is
nvmc.org.
that stands for Nisei Veterans Memorial Center. Easier to remember that way, but it's nvmc.org.
Yes.
And there's information there about that, and it's a very well-done site. And again, I can just, all I can really say is I applaud you, Deidre, and the hard work you do, and the dedication. We were talking about this before the show started. There's so many nonprofits that are kind of struggling to get by, and sometimes there's only one or two or just a handful of volunteers and one person who's staff. But when you're doing something and you really care, I think it really comes across. I'm not saying others don't, but
right.
You really care and believe in what you're doing.
I really
think that
do.
Comes
and
across.
Like I said, we have a great team. We just have a wonderful Melanie Agrabanti, who is our research archivist, can find anything about anybody. So be careful. But she's great. You know, families
so
come
funny.
Through the door and she knows their history. So
really?
It really makes my job of going around
she
and talking it. About
she
it.
She knows her history.
That's she knows amazing. Her history. She can find anything. So
well, and now it's becoming more and more popular to actually get back to your roots. Right now,
right.
People are doing the genealogy and really
yes.
curious about it. So, and I think there's value to that, to know
a
little bit more about your relatives
yeah.
and what they did.
Where'd
hoping.
You come from?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it's all about. But again, I just I adore you, Deidre, and we all do here at the station. Yeah. We kind of feel like you're
mutual.
Well, we kind of feel like you're part of our staff here.
Thank you.
you're always, you know, available to talk to, and I just love it. This is kind of you were going to come next week, and it was last minute. But this is an important subject, and we really, very rarely, really, really encourage because things sell out. usually, but this one is a paid event, so we're really pushing you all to really get your $35. That's nothing with Poo Poo, so and be a part of this. Am I calling?
244-6862.
244-6862. Much gratitude to you and all that you do. It's extremely appreciated, and it's made a difference in the community. As we all learn these stories, then we also have the responsibility of carrying on in a good tradition.
Yes. Thank you.